This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I'm getting excited about tonight. I'm feeling so amped.
Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists. As Vinny's jokes. And my very special guest joining us today is none other than the illustrious pastor, former politician, former blues musician, former businessman, former white ribbon ambassador, former firefighter, former police officer, former person in the military. You know, like, we're just bringing them on the show and talking about the fact that there's an appeal pending on the 31st of July of this year concerning the arrest of this man and myself, and why did we get arrested? Why did we get charged as we did? 5 months for Billy and 4 months for myself in prison when other people in our time at the moment, murderers, actual murderers, actual liars, instead of getting prison, are being given home detention while people who protest what would be argued to be unlawful measures, aka the lockdowns and breaching of human rights, to protest that, which is protected under the Bill of Rights, you get prison time, not home detention. That's for murderers. These people who protest, they're actually dangerous. We need to keep them off the streets. Such is the justice system of New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say. But what I am happy to say is that we do have wonderful sponsors for the Vinnie Eastwood Show, including you, the listener. You can go to vinnieeastwood.com and donate through the KiwiBank, PayPal and Patreon streams. The Patreon goes through my band, which is basically the reason why I got banned from Patreon. They still haven't told me why they banned me. In fact, they still haven't told me that they banned me. But anyway, this is what happens when you tell the truth. You need to more aggressively rely on those people who want to hear the truth. So few of you there are, and so high is your quality that it makes up for it. And I want to thank all the listeners of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and especially those of you listening along in Kiwi Radio and RBN, and those of you on Twitch, YouTube and Facebook right now while we're live. And I do want to also thank all those people who are going through the archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show and looking back on the many, many brilliant guests that we've had on this broadcast over the years. And HoldenHealthcare.com, emphasis on the care. David Holden's been helping me out, treating me very well, and I'm quite grateful for that as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, the mainstream medical system will just get you taking pill after pill after pill and trying to treat ill after ill after ill. And that doesn't really progress you anywhere. But when you have a holistic understanding from a qualified naturopathic oncologist who's a specialist in hard-to-treat cases, whatever health problem you got, I think it's a good measure. So go to HoldenHealthcare.com. There's a medical disclaimer on that website for any of those government people listening, speaking of government people listening, reopen.nz is a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. If you want to stop all of this madness and you're willing to put your name up there, please go to reopen.nz and add your freedom business today. Now, Billy, the documentary River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, can you tell people a little bit about that? Well, seeing as we're plugging sponsors here, because you've got a number of products and t-shirts and things on that website that you've got to sell, yeah?
Yeah, so good morning, everybody. Kia ora from New Zealand, Aotearoa, the Soviet state of the South Pacific. Yes, we have a documentary, an investigative documentary called The River of Lies, a New Zealand Scamdemic Investigative Documentary, and it is an expose of really of how New Zealand was a jigsaw piece in a lockstep program that went global called the COVID-19 operation. And it really exposes the at the very best, hypocrisy and complete ineptitude of our government and bureaucrats and politicians, or it blatantly exposes crime and criminal negligence in the health sector and in the media, academia, and of course the government itself. Originally we were going to have one sort of like 2-hour documentary, but we've got over 1800 minutes worth of footage. And it was decided that no, we can't just edit it down into a two-hour program. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to have probably three 90-minute episodes. The first two episodes are going to be the story of COVID-19 in New Zealand and the world. And the final episode will be exposing the dirty, very, very dirty aspects of this, how the New Zealand government and the powers that be in the United States and the CDC, in the military, in DARPA, working with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Eco Health Alliance, biology labs in the Ukraine, and also the UN and WHO, WEF, all the connections, all the strange and murky connections made between them. Interestingly enough, we're going to have the story of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and their funding history, and how Bill Gates has operated his so-called philanthropy to basically give him a position of control in almost every sector you can imagine on the planet, let alone New Zealand. We're going to look at the relationships between New Zealand politicians and those far away that work and operate in the foreign halls of power, and basically expose already, I can tell you, expose something that is just disgusting. And really, what it's good to do, this documentary, because there is so much of the international story in it, it's going to be a tool that people can use from wherever they're from, whether they're from Denmark, whether they're from the UK, Canada, US, Australia. They'll be able to use this documentary to give to people that were hesitant to believe that anything was wrong, or maybe even completely ignorant to that fact that there was something wrong with the COVID-19 narrative. And this documentary is going to be a great resource whereby people can use it to help educate people to see what's really going on. Because the next problem is, of course, we've got climate change, we've got all these other things that are going on, but this will be a very, very, very good tool, resource, to open the eyes of people that perhaps find comfort in being ignorant, or maybe just are ignorant of what's going on. And so we've been very disciplined in the way that we present information. It's going to be the truth and nothing but the truth, and no rabbit holes, no tinfoil hat wearing, just the facts that we can prove.
Speaking of which, I was reading out an article on the last show from Byron Clark. The headline is Pandemic Madness, Just a Rehearsal. And he goes on to talk about how the conspiracy theorists during the pandemic will now switch to climate change, which is precisely what we thought that they were going to do. And so the sky is just... In reading this person's article, Byron Clark, and I believe this guy's an author, talking about misinformation and disinformation, so on and so forth, and I began reading the article, and I immediately took a disliking to the guy. And by the time I'd read a fifth of the article, I'd gone from disliking the guy to actually just hating the guy. You know, certain people really get you goat because they're liars, okay? And they're disrespectful. And they break every code of conduct that there really is. And this is who you have informing the public about important measures that are going on in society. This sort of rhetoric is, I think, very dangerous because it's forcing people into a massive him versus me, you versus us sort of mentality, that sort of divide and conquer. And it works so spectacularly, and it has been deployed in no small measure during the course of this pandemic. And to protest that, to expose it for what it is, it can get you in trouble because there's a lot of people with a lot of money and a lot of power riding on the line on this one, because if the truth comes out and becomes known to 51% of the population at least, then they're going to be facing a lot of problems. And therefore, there might be a political agenda to treat us as we have been treated so brutally by the justice system in this instance. I mean, I'd never heard of anybody handling a peaceful protest with less than 100 people and then getting like months in prison. That's just unreal. People would think that this is mainland China. And I think due to the massive Chinese infiltration of our political establishments and our business community and things of that nature at the hands of the Chinese state, New Zealand and mainland China, ideologically, aren't really all that different, we're starting to see. What do you think about that, Billy?
I think you're dead right, Vinny. I'm not kidding when I say that this is the Soviet state of New Zealand. I really do believe we in fact, there's nothing pretty about it. You might as well come out and say it. This is a very much a communistic state. It's full-blown socialist, and it's got the not-so-hidden traits of communism. We've got a Stasi-type program in New Zealand. It's called the Know Your Signs program. The Know Your Signs program is a New Zealand police and New Zealand Security Intelligence Services operation whereby they are encouraging citizens to inform on each other that if you hear your neighbour Joe saying something that you don't like about the government, and if it sounds like it could be threatening in any way, you're to ring either the police or the New Zealand Security Intelligence Services. Now, strangely enough, just to give the listeners a background, I could have easily, if life had been just slightly different by a degree, been in any of those intelligence agencies. I completed the introductory courses in the military for the Military Intelligence Corps, didn't go into the Intelligence Corps and got out of the Army not long after that, but I definitely had an interest in that, and the whole interest in that was about protecting New Zealand, not spying on its citizens and asking citizens to rat on each other, because what you get there, you've got the very real risk of vengeance reporting, where you have a neighbour goes, right, that guy's blinking apple tree or lemon tree has taken over that fence. I've told him three times to trim it back. He hasn't. I'm going to get him. I'm going to ring up the New Zealand SIS or the New Zealand police, and I'm going to report that he said something that, or I overheard him say something that may be of a threat to the New Zealand government. That, of course, and a lot of wasted resources going into investigating all of those sorts of claims, which is a worry. But more than anything, when you invite a citizenry to police itself in that very, very unclear, vague, murky way, you're inviting another form of tyranny. You're inviting the tyranny whereby the citizenry feels like it's got power to cause other people harm through reporting these types of incidents or these type of theoretical incidents. And so we've got that in New Zealand. We've got a country now that will not tolerate free speech if the free speech is against the speech of the government, and they will close you down, which we've seen many times in New Zealand now. It's very, very clear that they've done it many times. They've done it to us, Vinny. They've used big tech to do it. Facebook, the New Zealand government has been busted and caught out, having a backdoor to the censoring and the membership part of Facebook, whereby they can close people down and censor them at will. They've used big tech media as well to propagandize their message and to attack and slander people like myself and even yourself to a degree, Vinny, if you stand up and speak against the government's narrative. But they've got free speech, this freedom of speech destructive laws that they've developed and are waiting to bring in. It's just terrible. But there's a fascist aspect to this too, and that is they're working with globalist big tech to bring in these control measures, and New Zealand is right at the front. So we are very much a Chinese-style type country at the moment. We may not have the fully matured elements of the social credit system here, but we're very much lined up to have that, very much. So media, academia, we've got universities that are talking about the wonderful Chinese, the Republic of China, which is a wonderful communist state. They did things so much better. They've rescued their people from poverty. Yes, there's been a huge human cost of tens of millions of people, but you know, that doesn't matter. They've got full-blown communism. So you've even got New Zealand universities celebrating Chinese communism. It's terrible. Yep, no worries. Okay, well, I'm going to be, this is now the Billy Ticker Hicker Show, proudly presented to you by Magic Dicol and NanoSoma and MetaSoma Health Products. It's great to be here. I'm being silly. And theriveroflies.co.nz, by the way. I didn't get to get that out before. Theriveroflies.co.nz, www.riveroflies.co.nz is the documentary website. I would love to hear from Americans that may be interested in that. If you go to that website, you can make contact with me there, and also you can join our blog, which is a good reminder. I've got to type one out today. I was with Del Bigtree last week and did a great show with Del, and he's a great guy, Del, and I was with Dr. Rasha Buttar just a few days after that. So, so the American people that are on to what's going on, it's fantastic to communicate with you and to have some fellowship with you through the airwaves, which is really important to have that. Now, Vinny was talking about our appeal earlier. He was talking about our appeal against the sentence of prison that we have both had. I just want to go back into that just a little bit and just confirm some points for you. So, number one, as Vinny said, I'm very much a community person. I've been I've got a good strong record of service to my country and community. I've always done my best to want to do that and serve my community, and I've always been a very patriotic New Zealander. I'm not so much anymore because I've realised that even that is a ruse that they've used against people like me. I don't have any convictions. I've been a member of the police, and I've been a community worker for a long time, as well as a musician that's been involved in campaigns designed to make New Zealand a much better place.
I'm back. I'm so sorry about that, Billy. I had some monster technical issues there, a massive buzzing on the line, and then I couldn't hear anything at all. But now I'm back. I was just like, oh my goodness, and the buzzing's gone too. Let me know if you've if that buzzing's gone for you on the live stream as well, ladies and gentlemen. So, all right.
I'm not getting anything here. I'm just talking about our sentence, Vinny, because people need to really understand what this means to New Zealand. If they're interested, of course. But, you know, so here are we before Judge Winter, and he reads out the fact that I've got a strong service record, says I've got significant number of character references that attest to my good character, the fact that I've not been in trouble with the law before, and then he looks at you, looks at Rebecca and baby, acknowledges baby and says, I acknowledge your partner and newborn son. And then after all of that, he sentences me to 5 months prison and you to 4 months prison. That was the most coldest, callous thing I think I've ever seen in my life, that a judge could do that. Fair enough if we're criminals. Fair enough. If we've done something that's really criminal, then fair enough. You get what you get. But we are not, and we were not criminals. We still aren't today. And yet, this sentence that he gave us, as he said earlier, we've got people convicted of manslaughter, which is a step down from murder. We've got people convicted of manslaughter. One woman killed a 73-year-old man in her care, a cancer patient. She tortured him and beat him up for about half an hour, and then finally ended it with his death. She got 12 months home detention. We've got a man that punched his wife in the head and knocked her out and killed her. He got 5 months home detention. A few days after that, we've got a man that abused three children over a period of, sexually abused them over a period of about 12 months. He got home detention. Then we've got a gang member involved in four drive-by shootings and burglaries, robberies. He got home detention. Then we've got, we've got drug dealers. Just the other day, I read a story a couple of days ago of two brothers and another man that sold 5 kg of methamphetamine worth unbelievable amounts of money. And they were given 12 months home detention and 6 months home detention. You know, and we get 5 and 4 months prison for a peaceful protest. For something that they now know that we were protesting against lockdown harm and government overreach, then they now know that the lockdowns only killed people, didn't help anyone. They know now that the so-called COVID-19 virus is the equivalent in death rate to the seasonal flu. That's all out now. I mean, and that masks don't protect you or stop you from getting sick, and the social distancing thing was just always a bunch of rubbish. And they know these things, but our judge that we had refused to entertain the reality of any of it. And he sentenced us based on the fact we were public enemies, that we did something so very, very bad. Yet the reality of it is not one person was harmed other than you and I. The reality of it is not one person was proven to have COVID, there was no property damage, and there was very, almost no public nuisance aspects to this. So, where's the crime, Vinny? Where's the crime, mate?
I think that if there is no victim, there is no crime. And goodness knows how many victims there actually are of lockdowns themselves, you know, because look at the amount of suicides, look at the amount of people who've lost their businesses and so on and so forth. It's so terrible, the consequences of these actions. And all the consequences of our actions have been manufactured. Like, they didn't need to happen. They could have just let us speak for a further 15 minutes. Then we would have gone away. There'd be no prosecution, there'd be no arrests. I mean, there wasn't even any need for police to even be there to keep people safe, or whatever the kind of pretext is that police turn up to protest with their cameras to quote unquote gather intelligence, you know, keeping people safe. I don't think so. I think that we have a brutal regime in charge of this country now. It's been infiltrated by a lot of internationalist interests who have indoctrinated our best and brightest and most well-to-do families overseas and brought them back here to implement a globalist agenda. And quite frankly, that globalist agenda says, these guys right here, this has to change.
Well, exactly. I mean, to prove the point to how true you, what you're saying is, right now in New Zealand, we've got Mark Dalder, D-A-A-L-D-E-R, Mark, M-A-R-C, Mark Dalder. Mark Dalder is the son of Ivor Dalder, who was a deep state operator in the U.S. government. He's a deep state operator. He has sat in the war room of some of the decisions that have been vital in U.S. foreign policy. And we got the son of this guy here in our midst writing articles, slander articles about you and I and other people like us that are speaking up against the global hegemony and the plan of destruction that we're meant to just keep silent and roll over, suck our thumb and be grateful. Well, sorry, people like that, Mark Dalder. And then on top of that, there's an article over, there's been an article put out over the weekend, just gone, and it's about the New Zealand intelligence sector now hiring former US military officers to work in intelligence roles here in New Zealand. Now, I can't think of anything worse than having foreign people of any description in charge of things like that in New Zealand, because they have no affinity. It's not the fact that they're foreign people. I love having different cultures and people here. I love it. It's what makes our country interesting and keeps us going. But that's not what I'm talking about. You're talking about people that they know could be a real threat to freedom and democracy and people like you and me. And they're employing them now, Vinny. They're bringing them to New Zealand. As, you know, instead of focusing on hiring doctors and nurses, people that can help our country like that, they're actually gearing up and prepping the infrastructure that they want to have in place to be able to cut down on people like you and me. Full stop. Now, is that communism? You bet it is. It is. People just need to go back into history. Look at how Lenin and Stalin operated. Look at how Mao, Chairman Mao, operated, or how the Nazis operated. And they'll see the same patterns of behavior as what we are living through today. Mass formation, media control and propaganda, threats of harm and implemented harm against dissidents. So are we in a communist country? Are we in a fascist country? I think we are. I think it really is very, very clear that we are.
Now, what does that actually mean, though? Okay, let's say, for example, people say we're in a democracy. What does that actually mean? It means mob rule, more or less. And what's problematic is that if you've got a apparatus of big media who can manufacture the consent of the people, the democracy is basically worthless because the voice of the people doesn't really get on the media. They just repeat their lines over and over again, and people passively accept it. Now, what's problematic about this is that the process of appeasement is something that encourages bullying. It encourages people to be even worse. And we'll talk even more about things being worse after the break with my very, very special guest, Billy TK. The caller number is 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443. How's the tyranny going in your country? Call on in. We'll be right back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping your Luftwaffe aloft. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the one and only. My very special guest, Billy Tikahika, is with us, and we're talking about our appeal and the bail conditions and, of course, the global situation that is unfolding right now as we speak with all these types of scumbaggery. So Billy, let's talk about this. You think about the amount of time it takes you to learn these lessons of the world and how the world actually truly works and how, well, contrary to popular opinion, these truths really are. And then you go out and you try to do something about it and you find how difficult that actually is. What are some of the lessons you've learned? What are some of the mistakes you've made? And what can be done about it? This sort of thing for people who are new and coming up, what can they kind of expect if they do manage to get particularly successful at spreading the truth as you have?
Well, of course, you know, the main thing is with people like me, is that I wasn't just a dissident voice. I became the leader of a political movement in 2020 in New Zealand, the largest of its kind ever, the fastest growing party of its kind, or of any type of party of its kind ever in New Zealand. We were not only a political voice, but we represented so many different types of people. It wasn't even funny. We represented wealthy people, poor people, brown people, white people, all sorts of people. And it was people, it was made up of people that knew that we were on the slippery slope down to tyranny and into tyranny. People that had researched Agenda 2030 that our Prime Minister the year before in 2019 had committed New Zealand to full implementation of Agenda 2030. Mm. And to those of us who know what that means, understand that Agenda 2030 is the end of sovereignty, personally and nationally. And so what we saw early on, of course, was the links in the chain of tyranny being connected, i.e., you know, Agenda 2030, then there's COVID, then there's climate change, then there's the mechanisms that get connected together, such as, you know, climate change tyranny and central bank digital currencies with carbon footprint tracing, all those different things started to appear. And to any of us that have been watching this or studying this topic for years, it became very obvious to us in 2020 that they were making their move. And COVID-19 was going to be the main mechanism that they're going to use to collapse economies, shut people down, condition people into subserviency and enslavement, and to terrify us into a herd mentality of obedience. And so, you know, I turned up, and many, many moons and years after you were speaking the truth in your alternative media channel, Vinnie, and I came along and I started doing these lectures about it online that went viral. We created a political party with the people. I was voted the third preferred prime minister in a Colmar News Brunton poll, which is a very, very prestigious poll in New Zealand, political poll in New Zealand. And that would have scared them, because that's the first time that's ever happened for a newbie politician, as far as I know, ever in New Zealand. No one appears on the political scene in New Zealand as a newbie and suddenly gets voted the third preferred prime minister. That just doesn't happen. And we were huge. We, you know, literally, we were the third largest in membership, third largest in candidates in New Zealand, and we had a sitting Member of Parliament in our midst. So it looked like we were going to be a shoo-in to Parliament, but in hindsight, I laugh at that because that was so naive. They were never going to let anyone like me near Parliament, a true voice of the people, someone that I don't have a Freemasonry background. I don't come from a wealthy family. I don't come from an Ivy League or elite school background. I don't have anything like that. I'm a normal, as normal a guy as you can meet. The only thing that made me a bit different was that I was a bloody wicked guitar player. That's the thing that made me different. And I toured the world doing that for years and had a good life doing that. But when you speak up and you know your game, you know their game, you know the narrative, and you know how wrong it is, the moment that you gain traction, the moment you break through is the moment they go, that's it, put a mark on that guy. And that's what they've done. They're not only having a go at me about the protest charges, as you know, Vinny, they're trying to claim I lied on my electoral declaration report after the election as well. They're claiming I'm a thief, I'm a liar, and I'm a fraud. Right now, it's not over. It's not just the protest charges. They're trying to harm me both emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and financially. And they've just about ruined me financially. It's terrible. $80,000 in legal fees, $40,000 in the last year and a bit, and another $45,000 over the next 3 months.
Unbelievable. I can't freaking even imagine.
I'm selling everything I have. I've sold my guitars. I've got one guitar left, and that's like selling my wife this one, but I might have to. And it's just unreal. And you know this because you walk alongside me. It's terrible. And if anyone would like to get in contact with me and support me, the way to do that is billy@ibc.net.nz. That's my email address. Billy@ibc.net.nz. Billy@ibc.net.nz. I really don't know what I'm going to do about that. But I know that God will provide a way. I've got no doubt about that. But it's been such a burden on my wife and my children. I mean, that day that you and I were sentenced to jail, they took us straight away. There was no goodbye to our families and children and our wives. It was, you're gone. And we're sitting in a cell. I'm sitting in that cell expecting to be taken to the main prison. You know, just brutal. And this is why I say we have got a drunk with power communist government that is ready to become a full-blown technocratic communistic fascist government. It's part of the global New World agenda. It's amazing to watch at the same time.
I know. And at that point, you know, you realize that there's nothing you can say, right? When you're talking with a person who is operating under the dictates of their conscience rather than just following orders, you can reason with them. You can make them feel something. You can change their mind with new facts and evidence. But when you're dealing with an ideology, when you're dealing with mind control, no such option occasionally is possible. And anything you say is basically going to fall upon deaf ears. And I think maybe this is the great terror that we're going to be facing and exposing to the people of New Zealand, as if we haven't made this country's fascist face show any more than anybody else. The real question is, will the appeal be successful? Because based after all of this kind of thing, you might just get the same kind of rhetoric response from this. It's in one ear and out the other, garbage in, garbage out, whatever metaphor you want to use. The outlook for this country if the people aren't standing up, if the people aren't rising up, if the people aren't making their own media and talking to their neighbours and getting their pamphlets out and things of that nature and going to all the council meetings and running for local parliament and doing everything they can to starve the system of its resources, namely the people. If people aren't doing that, then things are going to get a lot worse before they get better, and people need to realise that, and that's what really pinches on this case, is that it proves that things in New Zealand are bad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they are bad here. I did an interview with Dale Bigtree the other week, and, you know, he was basically saying that, you know, New Zealand is one of those countries that always had this sweet image, this persona as a country of sweetness, of middle earth warmth, of, you know, barefoot, long-haired children running through the grass to the beach, and everybody eating fresh seafood and eating, you know, beautiful sweet lamb, and all, you know, just this beautiful place of freedom. This utopian environment almost. But it's not that. It's completely not that. It was like that in the 70s for me when I was growing up as a kid. I did have long hair. I did have bare feet. I did run through the long grass to the ocean, and everything seemed free and easy. But it's not that today. New Zealand, you know, one of the great things that's disappointed me, apart from the expected dishonesty of the system, has been the way that New Zealanders have rolled over and showed no courage, no spine, no backbone, and no moral fibre, no moral courage. It's been one of the things that's been disturbing to see a country that was once infamous for our problem-solving, our critical thinking, that it was so easily suspended and hung up on a hook to be used at some future time, maybe. You know, it was completely suspended. And New Zealand just went, oh, well, Bill Gates says it's safe. Jacinda Ardern says it's safe. Let's roll up our sleeves and go get jabbed. You know, and everyone did it. At one point, they're saying 90% of New Zealanders went did it. I don't believe that. I really, really, really don't believe that. But, you know, and now, well, lo and behold, we've got excess mortality deaths through the roof. It's unbelievable.
Well, the thing is, because I've been doing this for so long, like dealing with the whole they're going to use vaccines to create a pandemic and genocide us and everything like that. We were talking about this in 2008 with the swine flu pandemic, all right? It was only a pandemic because they changed the definition of pandemic to a disease that exists in more than one country, all right? And then, or was it two continents or something like that? And then a journalist, Jane Burgermeister, released this article where the scientists who were taking in this new swine flu vaccine decided that they would test them. And they tested them on ferrets, and all the ferrets died. And this was the vaccines that had 52 safety checks already before they were going out to the public to make sure that they were safe. And 52 safety checks simultaneously failed, right? That's not a coincidence.
Wow.
All right? And if that's the case, they just simply didn't get away with it then, because one journalist who barely anybody knew leaked a story from one source. This is how powerful the truth is. It prevented a genocide back then, but they learned. All right, that's something people don't realize, is that evil doesn't sleep. It waits. It waits until you're lazy. It waits until you're dozy. It waits until you're distracted. And then it strikes. That's what it does. It tries things, and then it learns. And then it tries different things, and then they work. And that's what we saw happen. The culmination of many, many years of viral propaganda. Oh, it's the swine flu, it's the camel flu, it's the monkey pox, it's the aardvark AIDS, whatever they come up with, they just make it up, and then people get freaked out about it. And eventually, because they're so freaked out about it, they stop doing the one thing that would help them. Thinking. The minds of the people and the apparatus of government have all just been slowly massaged into pulp. And now there's barely a conscience or a mind left in many of the people in New Zealand. And it's I would say that it's sad to see, but it's disgusting. And it's terrifying. And it's humbling to see how effective our enemies truly are at getting what they want when people won't say no.
Well, that's the point. And I was talking about this yesterday, is that, you know, New Zealand, most of New Zealand hasn't worn a uniform. They haven't been in the military. And even though I only spent a short time in the military, I joined very late in life. After already having an adult life, I joined at the age of 28 in a regular force soldier, which is unheard of at 28. And I did, and I was mature enough to realize what it meant, what it really, really meant. And therefore, you gain a perspective as to the sacrifice that military men and women made fighting against tyranny, so that New Zealand didn't have the Nazi swastika hanging out across our parliament, that we didn't have the Japanese Imperial Army march through Queen Street in Auckland City and take over. You get a sense of the real sacrifice that they made to fight that, you know. But New Zealanders today, you know, we get all these people turning up to Anzac Day, Australia, New Zealand, you know, Memorial Day for soldiers that died in World War One, you know, paying tribute to all these men and women that died. But the fact is, those men and women that died would be horrified to see what we are today. And yeah, that is that is a country that's rolled over and allowed our freedoms to go rolling down the hill.
Yeah. There's no Nazi flags running through the streets. There's UN flags.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no German being spoken in the streets. It's woke rhetoric that's being spoken in the streets. The people who died and sacrificed themselves, I think, were sold a bill of goods.
Mm.
All right. And because they were honourable and they were decent and they were trusting, they went over and they sacrificed themselves because they thought it was the right thing to do. But then when all those honourable and decent men died or came home so traumatised that they weren't themselves anymore, who was left in the country to run things, to have all of its wealth? You see? And how many times do people have to be sent overseas? How many wars have to be orchestrated? How many arms need to be sold to the enemies before people learn that you get sacrificed virtually like in a blood ritual for the aims of people who have much higher goals? The goal of World War One was to get the League of Nations on board, and when that didn't happen, they decided that World War II would be great because then we can get the UN, and then they got it. They got their framework for their new world order, only at the cost of tens of millions of lives of men, women, and children. That's what they're willing to sacrifice. And I don't think that people going up there and literally being goats to the slaughter on the altar of globalism is something we should be honouring anymore. I think it is something we should be deploring. I think it is something that we need to look at very soberly and just think about the loss that's been generated to mankind by these globalist wars and all of the families that have suffered and lost. Like, I remember I was at a small New Zealand town. I forget the name of it right now. And I had a few minutes, so I went by the war memorial. I started reading the names. And there was one name that came up like five times. It was like five brothers that died from one family or something in one war, right? What do you think that did to their mother or their father? What do you think that did to their community, these five brothers no longer being there? Just one small little microcosm. This is what war is worth. If you're fighting for the right cause, it's because scumbags are trying to enslave and subsequently exterminate you. Okay, that's a good reason to die, but a good reason to die is not to go overseas and get yourself killed so that a globalist can make a few extra bucks on their oil profits.
Yeah. It's there's a Freemasonry general from the mid to late 19th century. His name is General Albert Pike. Albert Pike was, of course, the Confederate general who became the head of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in North America. He wrote the book Morals and Dogma, which is the encyclopedia, the true encyclopedia for 33 degree Freemasons. You may be lucky to get one past the 30th degree, but basically every 33 degree Freemason has a copy of this. They get given it, and when they die, it's got to be given back to the family, back to the lodge by the family. And he famously wrote a letter. I'm trying to get the date right, probably somewhere in the 1870s, late 1870s, maybe early 1880s. And it was to a friend of his in the Freemasonry system, where, and this letter, by the way, was in the London Metropolitan Museum, and a Canadian military intelligence officer took photos of it and shared it around the world back in the 19, we're talking just after World War II. Anyway, this letter outlined the plan for three world wars, and the First World War was to get rid of Tsarist Russia, so end the monarchy in Russia so that a more secular authority could be created that would lull the people into communism. The World War II was aimed at waging war against Great Britain and the Allies in continental Europe so that Europe could be divided into a communist bloc versus the West, thus creating a huge friction within the world, which didn't end until the Berlin Wall came crashing down, and then the end of Soviet Russia. So you're talking what, 45 years of Cold War after that, after World War II. But also you got out of that is that you got Israel. You got Israel being created, so that a state could be created called Israel. Now there's a couple of different books about that particular event happening, and that it had a lot to do with why there was a Holocaust against the poor Jewish people in Europe, because in 1904 to 1908, 1909. When they were surveying European Jews about moving back to Palestine to create the future state of Israel, 92% said no, they weren't going anywhere. They were European Jews. And so what you had, of course, is out of World War One, you had, as you say, the League of Nations, you had the Treaty of Versailles, which crippled Germany, which bred the conditions for a future war. You've got the destruction of Tsarist Russia for a communistic state. You got World War II come along that created the Soviet bloc. It created Israel, and created the nuclear Cold War threat. And then the third war was meant to be World War was to be created between the Judeo Christian West against the Islamic East. And of course, we saw strong attempts at that with 9/11. Strong attempts. Did they achieve what they wanted from the war on terror? No, they didn't. They didn't. So they had to go back to the drawing board. They realized pretty soon after 9/11, even with the London attack, that it wasn't, it just, they couldn't do terrorist events every week. People will get wind of it. And here we go. Here's a break.
Well, that's not the break. That's actually the end of the show.
Oh, there you go.
Whoa. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, go to riveroflies.co.nz and vinnyeastwood.com if you want to know more. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. Remember, donate to Vinny and donate to Billy, please, ladies and gentlemen. Our legal fees badly need to be paid. And we will see you next time on the Vinny Eastwood Show.